Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So, wow. Welcome to it. It's the middle of the week. This is the first time in like 3 weeks we get to actually play the camel, right?
I know, right?
Let's play the camel. Hit it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! It's hump day. It's finally actual hump day. We've had the last 2 weeks where we were out on Wednesdays, right?
I know. It's felt like a Wednesday a lot when it wasn't, but this is
yes,
the first true Wednesday.
First true camel day we've had in quite a while.
Yep.
And it's the first true camel day of 2025.
I was going to say, first one of the new year.
Welcome to the middle of the week. You are halfway to the weekend. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday, so just stand by. We got a great show lined up for you. By the way, the voice you just heard, that is the lively JP pushing buttons on the board. Hey, man. You good?
I'm doing good. How about you?
You ready for Snowmageddon?
No.
You stocked up on milk and bread?
I'm not, no.
Come on.
I'm technically stocked up for one person. I'm not going to go buy any more. Okay. I got enough, but yeah.
Okay. Well, you know it's going to all be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I'm dreading. It would be kind of funny if we just got rain and this whole thing.
Don't say that because that's happened multiple times.
I know. I have lived it.
All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you today. Just so you know, coming up at 4 o'clock today, it's not just the day that we play the camel. It's at 4 o'clock. We have the Grand Council. So the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We'll have them on here at 4 p.m., and we'll just sling the questions out there and see how we do. So Grand Council, 4 o'clock, because it is a Wednesday. And then we got a Triple Dipper. Hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, didn't get to it yesterday. Oh, we're getting to it today. It even got deeper. Illegal illegals. Yeah, it's one thing when they come here illegally. It's another when they commit crimes when they're here, because those are crimes that didn't have to occur but for their presence. So we're going to talk about just the latest developments, to include legislation that's being sponsored by our own Katie Britt. Illegal illegals, that's number one on the Triple Dipper. And then number two, I got to thinking about something yesterday. We mentioned it briefly on the show, kind of in passing. Have you heard about the fact that now in New York City, they've decided you get to pay a tax just to drive in downtown Manhattan? They're calling it a congestion zone. You know where they got that idea? They got it from the liberals that run London, England, who have what they call their ULEZ zone. And they're making people's lives miserable, so much so that there's an uprising right now. And so we're going to talk about the driving tax. And believe me, they are trying to get money out of you, and they'll do whatever it takes just for allowing you to drive. And then number three, we got to touch on this, and it's going to be part of my monologue here in a minute, but California is burning, y'all. Not a little bit. Like, whole swaths of California are on fire. And this is just a devastating thing. This is a fire that is having massive effect, and it's not just out there burning in the middle of nowhere. We're talking about communities, restaurants, businesses, all of it on fire. So we're going to talk about California burning as number three on the Triple Dipper. Well, all right, let me move on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. As always, remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, he's a sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald, attorney at law, and I'll tell you more about him in just a few minutes. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard somebody say the cure is worse than the illness? You ever heard that? The cure is worse than the illness. The idea that the medicine or the treatment or the therapy is more painful or causes more problems than the illness itself. And it's actually not always true, but sometimes it feels that way. That is what we're seeing right now in California. People who believe they've got all the ideas about how to save the environment are making things worse than the actual fires that we're seeing right now. Because it didn't have to be this bad. Now listen, I don't know if you've been following the news, but there are, like I said a moment ago, whole swaths of California that are burning right now. Go online, look at the videos of people staring out their windows as walls of raging fire consume their yards and move in on their houses. This is a big one. This is a disaster of epic proportions. And the crazy thing is, the fires are not, like I said earlier, out there in the wilderness somewhere. This is not some remote region of the Big Sur or a state park. This is in places like Pasadena, Pacific Palisades, Malibu, West Hollywood. Sunset Boulevard is partially on fire. All around Los Angeles, offshore winds are driving massive fires. City blocks, restaurants, businesses, homes, whole neighborhoods. And in a place called Pacific Palisades, where movie stars and real estate moguls live, over 30,000 people have been ordered to evacuate. As of this morning, nearly 3,000 acres are burning with zero containment. Zero containment. More than 10,000 homes have been threatened. And throughout the greater Los Angeles area, over 200,000 homes and businesses are without power right now. And for the first time in 20 years, the LA Fire Department has called in their off-duty firefighters. And the state of Arizona is even sending additional fire management teams to assist. Just moments ago, right before I went on the air, Governor Gavin Newsom finally called in the National Guard. It's that bad. Roadways are jammed up with abandoned vehicles as people try to flee the area and crowd the roads, making them impassable for evacuations or first responders to even get through. A second wildfire broke out last night near Altadena, north of L.A., over 1,000 acres burning there. A third fire zone kicked up near the Sylmar neighborhood of L.A., quickly consumed hundreds of acres. Fourth and fifth fires have now kicked up just since I got the show prepared this morning. Why am I telling you all this? Well, first of all, because this is a human tragedy, and those are our people. Make no mistake, I loathe California politics, but I love California. I actually lived there for several years. It is truly the Golden State. Its beauty is amazing, its resources, its history, and it's on fire as we speak. But I tell you all of this for a second reason, and that is that this whole fiasco was largely preventable. You heard me. Wildfires in California are made worse because of liberal policies that make it impossible to mitigate the damage. Now, make no mistake, fires happen and they're going to happen. I get that. But when you know how to prevent them, when you know how to mitigate them, when you know how to slow them down and how to put them out, and you're not allowed to do that because environmentalist whack jobs have control of your politics, that's the height of absurdity. That's the epitome of cutting off your nose to spite your face. But we save the air, we save the trees, we conserve the resources. Yeah, but you burned it all down to get there. Well, any of you who have ever been in the military, you know what happens when a training range comes into contact with an endangered species. I mean, God forbid that troops ought to walk through the woods at Fort Bragg or Fort Benning, sorry, Fort Liberty and Fort Moore, and disturb a red-cockaded woodpecker. I mean, training shuts down. Training lands are closed off for good. I've seen it happen time and time again. Safety briefings are given to the troops before they conduct their unit movements or their land navigation to ensure that if they see the special woodpecker or a snail darter or a special kind of tortoise, that they'll report it and training comes to an end. The same U.S. Army that can defeat its enemies on the battlefield, wreak destruction on bad guys, can also be taken down by a bird or a turtle or a fish. It's true. Ask any soldier. It's because of the environmentalists that are allowed to get involved with the politics. And it's that mindset that we see there on the training ranges on military installations that is now making the tragedies in California so much more tragic. In Pacific Palisades, which is a beautiful community on the coast, just yesterday, a beautiful star-studded million-dollar community, the firefighters had to stand and watch in frustration as things burned all around them because there was no water in their fire hydrants. You hear that? The pressure from the local reservoir was too low, and the water needed to extinguish the flames was not there. Rick Caruso, a guy who ran for mayor of Los Angeles, was interviewed on Fox. I'll play his clip later. He said the reservoirs have not been refilled in a timely manner. Local conservation efforts and liberal leadership left the reservoir levels dangerously low, and now the fire hydrants have been running dry. But the other issue driving the train is the fact that land management is stymied by red tape and environmental bureaucracy. To effectively manage land and mitigate potential for fire damage requires going through and purging the grounds of loose and dry fuel. You cut away dead brush, you remove dried down trees, you make fire breaks in the woods, you make it less likely that a future fire would have enough dry fuel. It doesn't mean that you deforest the area, not at all. It means you clean it up so it burns less. But the process of obtaining permission to clear dense lands of fire fuel, it can take years just to get permission from the red tape environmentalists. They conduct their studies. They look for endangered species. They fret and they wring their hands and they talk about saving the whales and whatever else. And it just continues. In 2021, in the year 2021, 10,000 acres of northern spotted owl habitat went up in smoke in Northern California. 10,000 acres that they could not clear because of the spotted owl. And yet when it burned, the spotted owl lost everything, right? The Forest Service was well aware there was a risk of a wildfire. They had a plan to protect it, but the project was tied up for a decade by environmental reviews and objections from environmental activists who, ironically, were concerned about the owl's well-being. So they dithered and they fretted and they talked about saving the earth, and the owls burned. Those years of year-long delays are becoming more and more common. Look, my time in sunny California when I lived there was spent mostly in the community of Laguna Niguel. It's a beautiful hillside area with rolling canyons that reach down to the coast. My backyard looked out over one of those canyons. It was gorgeous. And in 2022, 20 homes in my old neighborhood burned to the ground as a small brush fire was not able to be contained. It was dry ground cover that fed the fire, and people's lives were devastated as a result. But you add to that situation two other matters that are also easily preventable. In 2018, then-President Donald Trump called out California conservation laws which divert water resources into the ocean. Environmentalists have actually convinced politicians and bureaucrats in the Golden State that fish and wildlife were threatened by allowing the diversion of water for the irrigation of farms. As such, a mitigation of the amounts of water that are available now to fill reservoirs and provide water to farms is ongoing. And yes, to firefighting. It's been a raging debate in California for several years. In one of his mean tweets that made liberal heads explode, Trump back in 2018 said this. He said, quote, "California wildfires are being magnified and made so much worse by the bad environmental laws which are not allowing massive amounts of readily available water to be properly utilized." Well, it was quickly denied, and the issue was chalked up to him being a climate change denier. He just didn't understand the science, they said. Okay, he's still right. And then we get to the last one, by the way. The system that had actually sparked so many of these fires. Pacific Gas and Electric, the major supplier of electricity to Californians. It has been cited again and again and again for its aging infrastructure. They call for rate increases on a regular basis, and yet their system is rife with problems. Problems that have time and again caused fires that destroyed property and took lives. PG&E is being sued right now for a number of fires over recent years. An independent investigation found that PG&E has successfully pressured state regulators over the years to approve all their rate hikes while not adequately maintaining what one report called a, quote, aging and rickety equipment. In 2018, PG&E, the utility provider, actually pleaded guilty as a company to 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter because of what became known as the Camp Fire. It burned 154,000 acres, destroyed 18,000 structures, and killed 84 people. It's one of many fires that was attributed to PG&E, including another fire in May of 2019, which was sparked by a faulty transmission line from a tower that was 99 years old. Look, all of this, these are leadership issues. Yes, fires happen, and they will continue to happen. But no, we are not just supposed to take it and assume that nothing can be done. Leadership has to be able to say, enough is enough. Stop jeopardizing life-limited property to save a snail darter, or protect a monopoly power company that does not want to do what is necessary to mitigate danger. You have to do these things. If we're going to live there, then we're going to have to take care of there, and right now, there is burning. The Golden State's on fire. And I say this with all sincerity. Let us pray for our friends in California and hope that something good can come from this in the end. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, it's a mess. I mean, it's an absolute mess, and it's completely inexcusable when you see laws put in place that do not allow you to do what is necessary to fight the fires, and then the fires burn everything down that they say they were trying to preserve. It's just the height of cacistocracy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil was Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, that Right Side Way monologue, as always, brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Let me tell you about Stan. I know him personally. I think the world of him. Stan McDonald, he's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee out of Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. Y'all not only will Stan advocate for your legal needs and your rights, but listen, this guy has been an absolute warrior about the causes and the principles and the things that you all right side ruffians stand for. So attorney Stan McDonald, he has represented his clients in like thousands of real estate transactions. He knows how to represent you in local, state, and federal courts. And when I like to say, when Stan's on your side, you'll have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversary will have no greater foe. So here's the deal. I'm going to tell you how to reach him if you need to. You ready? Attorney Stan McDonald, the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. He's an America First family man. He's an attorney who's vigilant, and you can call him this way. You ready? Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020, and tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And here we go. You ready? No representation made, the quality legal service be performed is greater than the quality legal service before the other lawyers. Ta-da!
I wonder if Stan, Stan probably told you he had to do that.
We know.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Like, if the attorney doesn't have the disclaimer read at the end of their thing, they get in trouble, which is just nuts. Hi, I'm not as good as anybody else, you know? There's nobody, like, I'm saying that I'm better than or anything, but I'm a good.
You're not better than Sonny Hostin, who's technically a lawyer.
Don't get me started. Hey, we got a lot to talk about today. I mean, we're almost at the break already because I ran long on the podcast, but I'll just tell you this. That whole thing with California burning, New York Post headline, L.A. Mayor Karen Bass had just recently cut funding to the fire department by $17.6 million. Yeah. But she did make sure, though, that she hired the first ever LGBTQ fire chief, who is, by the way, in this particular district that's on fire, who made it her priority to seek diversity in the ranks as opposed to, I don't know, firefighting. It's something else, man. Oh, by the way, Karen Bass, the mayor of L.A., you mentioned this earlier, too.
Yep.
She's on vacation. She's out of the country. Currently she's not even there.
Currently in Africa, I believe.
Yeah. I feel certain it's a junket paid for by the taxpayers.
Why do mayors need to go to other countries? I don't see it.
If you're bringing business in, I get it. But you know what? The reality is your city's on fire, lady. Get back to your job, please. Just do your job. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, Alabama, y'all. I'm saying we're regional, too, by the way. Going live on Monday on WGOW, 1150 a.m. out of Chattanooga. Looking forward to that. So I got to figure out how to say the covering the ground thing at that point. I don't know what to say. I mean, I gotta figure it out.
Southeastern regions media, conservative media conglomerate. Is that
conglomerate?
Yeah, I feel like conglomerate sounded like
If I say conglomerate, I'll get tongue tied and it'll all be a mess. we'll see. I got several text messages. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it, same number for both. Adam from Athens is not a fan of, he's not a fan of Hollywood, so he doesn't care whether the fires get put out or not.
There's not everyone in Hollywood's bad. Let me just say that, you know, and it's just objectively beautiful, you know, so it's unfortunate to see that get burnt to the ground.
Yeah, and Adam's also saying, too, as a healthcare worker who has to go to work no matter what the weather, dear God, please keep the snow and ice away. Anyway, so yeah, you know what? I expect we're going to be on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So
unless, you know, power, you know, God forbid something like that happens.
Oh, no, it's going to be good. Because if power goes out, power's out at home.
So yeah, that's true.
That's bad. Bruce from Springville says, California does nothing but shoot itself in the foot due to liberal policies. The rest of the country needs to stop enabling that spoiled brat state. I agree with that, Bruce. I mean, that's one of the questions that Donald Trump has raised. Why do we keep having to bail you out with emergency, funds when you keep doing these policies that make the matter worse? Now, listen, no one blames them for a fire per se. All right. No one blames them for having a natural disaster. What we do blame them for is not doing the things that it takes to be able to mitigate the disaster. It's just nuts. Steve from Tennessee says the California fire is traced right back to Jimmy Carter's EPA. His funeral is well-timed to showcase his legacy. Karma? Yeah. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear Trump say he's going to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America? Can he legally do that? Yes. It doesn't have to be recognized by other countries, but Congress can choose to take that up and rename it. You can, congressional action can make that the way that for, you know, going forward, the United States will hereafter refer to the waters known as the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America.
So obviously the Gulf of Mexico is ours, right? Like we own that?
No, it's partly international.
Okay.
There are international waters there.
So no, if we named a water, or something we owned another country's name, that'd be kind of, why did we do that in the first place?
No, but Mexico doesn't own it either.
Yeah.
And the fact it's called the Gulf of Mexico when it's really, it's in the Western Hemisphere, surrounded by Central America, North America, you know. But it's the Gulf of Mexico.
Go figure.
Robert from Athens says, Dear Colonel Phil, back in the 1970s, we used to cut clear areas in the forest, which slowed the spread of wildfires and gave firefighters easy access to stop the flames. Environmentalist groups sued in court saying, quote, clear cutting was unnatural and the practice should be stopped. And they won. And the forest lost. And we don't even remember our mistakes, let alone know how to fix them. That's exactly right, man. Listen, I mean, how many times have you been out in the woods somewhere and you walked into an open area and realized it was a fire break? And it's not just like a power line fire break. It's a fire break, and it's there for a purpose. And then the fact that they don't like them, it's not natural. You can't do that. Well, burning 10,000 acres is not a great thing either. How about that? Anyway, more on that as the show progresses, we'll jump in it. But let me move to Dipper number one, illegal illegals. So yesterday, our own Alabama Senator Katie Britt, along with a guy who I've actually gotten to really like from afar.
He's going
to
be a Republican one day soon.
He's tracking.
He is tracking.
Now, I think he's going to wind up being, I think he's socially liberal, and he's conservative on things that, or not, I wouldn't call him conservative. He is center right on some things. But John Fetterman.
He has common sense, is what you're saying, with a lot of stuff.
Yes. And I'll be the first to admit, I thought he was damaged goods, man. Mm. When he ran, I railed against the idea of Democrats and his wife putting him up and letting him run when he couldn't string sentences together.
Yeah.
And it was awful. And then, of course, he went into his depression where he had to actually go into treatment for a while.
Yeah.
But he has bounced back from that. And, like, we'll play an audio clip in a minute. Dude holds a conversation now like there's never been a problem.
I mean, he did a whole 3-hour podcast with Joe Rogan just fine. It's like, you know, it's pretty incredible.
It is pretty incredible. It's actually an overcoming thing. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, though, is, and I had heard this before, but she confirmed it also, is that Senator Britt and Senator Fetterman, their offices are side by side. Mm-hmm. And she has gotten to know him, and they've become good friends. And it's amazing to watch them. They do things together bipartisan.
Yeah.
To include what we're going to talk about here in a minute, the Laken Riley Act. So here's the thing. The Laken Riley Act. You may recall Laken Riley was a sweet young lady who was a nursing student at the University of Georgia. And was it last year, I think it was? Last year, she was raped and murdered by an illegal alien. So the Laken Riley Act passed the House of Representatives yesterday. Tuesday afternoon, the first piece of federal legislation approved by the 119th Congress. So they got in, they elected their speaker, and just in a matter of days, they passed the Laken Riley Act out of Congress. It now goes to the U.S. Senate. It's the second time they passed it. Now, they passed it by a much wider majority. This time in the House, it was fairly bipartisan. They actually had 48 Democrats that voted for it this time. That's a huge swing from where they were last year, where they passed it on a very narrow margin. But what does it do? The bill requires federal immigration authorities to detain any illegal who may be found guilty of theft or other related crimes. Okay, that sounds like common sense. They're having to mandate it because they're not doing it. It would also, by the way, allow states to sue the Department of Homeland Security. That's going to be new and different. You ever have another Mayorkas situation? And a Laken Riley type incident occurs, which, by the way, I got a stack of stuff here. They're occurring on a daily basis. But if you have another Laken Riley event occurs, the family would then have civil redress against the Department of Homeland Security for allowing that person to remain in the United States. Now, it's not going to be because you can sue them because they were here illegally. It's going to be because they allowed them to remain illegally. So we've got a situation right now where this bill is going up before the U.S. Senate. They may vote on it as early as next week. We now have Republican majority in control of the Senate. What are they going to do? They say border security is their biggest issue. Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator John Thune, they both say that this is the biggest topic. Are they going to vote this thing through? Can they vote this thing through? Is there a reason why they wouldn't vote this through? You have to look at this bill and go, why would they not? So let me do this. I got a sound clip here. How much time we got? We got time. Let me go for audio clip number one, please. This is Senator Britt, Katie Britt from Alabama, and John Fetterman from Pennsylvania having a conversation with Fox News's Riley Act. It passed the House. They are the two senators who are doing a bipartisan co-sponsorship of the bill for the Senate. We're going to start listening to this. I'm going to listen to Brett Baer doing kind of an intro, and then we'll break away, and then I'll come back and get some more of it. Go ahead.
Georgia, February 24, at the hands, authorities say, of an illegal immigrant. That passed 264 to 159, 48 House Democrats. It requires federal detention for illegal immigrants guilty of theft crimes. Senate action on that bill is now pending. It's time for our Common Ground segment. Joining us to talk about the Laken Riley Act and other things, Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt and Pennsylvania Democratic Senator John Fetterman. Thank you both for being here again in Common Ground. Why is this important, and how confident are you about the Senate action here?
Yeah, so I think we've seen this litigated over the last 4 years, time and time again. And I think on November 5th, the American people delivered a verdict and said, we want secure borders. We want you to prioritize the safety and security of Americans over open border policies. And so this is a common sense piece of legislation, obviously named after a remarkable young woman that was taken from this earth way too soon. And I think that the bipartisan support that you saw in the House, I am really hopeful will carry on into the Senate. And we're already seeing good traction from our Senate colleagues interested in coming on board.
Senator Fetterman, there are Democrats, obviously.
So that's our Alabama Senator, Katie Britt, one of our two. I think Tuberville's on board with this, too, is my understanding. I think this is one of those bills you look at it and go, whew, why would you not support this? All we're talking about is getting rid of people who are A, here illegally already, and B, committing crimes while they're here in order to prevent more crimes like what happened with Laken Riley. Now, Fetterman was not asked just about the bill itself. He was also asked about the sentiment in the Democrat Party because Chuck Schumer refused to bring this bill up before. Well, Chuck Schumer doesn't have a say in it now. He can rail if he wants to, but he does not in what the Senate calendar looks like in terms of legislation being brought to the floor. So Fetterman is going to get asked here in a moment as to, is this an issue that Democrats understand? And they're going to play a clip from Representative Raskin, a Democrat, a partisan Democrat, who went to the floor and said that all this bill was is a way to pick on immigrants. He didn't mention illegal immigrants. He just said immigrants. Play it.
Spoke out against this today. One of them, Congressman Raskin. Take a listen.
Pick a crime, paste into it a template immigration law covering convicted criminals, and then require detention or deportation of certain persons merely accused of committing the crime or arrested for committing the crime. No due process required at all. This allows us to get up and demonize immigrants.
So what do you say to that? You've signed on to this bill. Oh,
well, I mean, I have a lot of enormous respect for my colleague in the House, but I just happen to disagree on this. And for me, just like my friend and colleague in the Senate, like, it's really common sense. And I'd like to remind everybody that we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of migrants here illegally that have convicted of crimes. And why, I don't know why, you know, who wants to defend that, to allow them to remain in our nation after that? And now, if you're here illegally and you're committing crimes and those things, I don't know why anybody thinks that it's controversial that they all need to go.
Do you think that this was one of, if not the biggest issue for this election?
Well, I think if we can't, you know, there's 47 of us in the Senate, and if we can't pull up with seven votes, If we can't get at least 7 out of 47, if we can't, then that's the reason why we lost. That's one of them. That's one of why we lost.
Go ahead and stop it there. So what he's saying there is basically they've got to have 60, all right? They're going to have 60 to get this thing passed. We have 53 Republicans. We need 7 Democrats to just play common sense. Now, later in the interview, Brett Baer noted the fact that there were at least two other Democrats who have already expressed open support for it. That means they need 4 more. And John Fetterman says, I thought this was just very, very prescient, very timely, and I thought it was very humble for him to say, if we can't get 7 of us to agree to something that makes common sense and protects people, then that's absolutely one of the reasons why we lost. And he's right. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We're on number one of the Triple Dipper, illegal illegals. So the Lake and Riley Act passed the House. It now goes to the Senate. But what are the things that have been happening? Is there a trend? Or do we have illegal immigrants creating, like, issues around the nation? Oh, by God, we do. I'll tell you about some of them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, illegal illegals. And I just played you a sound clip of the fact that there is bipartisan movement right now in D.C. And you love seeing that. I mean, keep in mind, leadership does set a tone. And this same bill, the Lake and Riley Act, which shouldn't be controversial, all this bill does is say, if you're here illegally and we catch you committing a crime, we're just going to get rid of you. We're going to deport you. You're done. We don't need you here. There's no way you can argue that you're value added or here because you need asylum. You're here committing crimes. So, adios. Well, that's apparently too much for some libs. And so the same bill could not get traction at all in the Senate. And now it has bipartisan support, the same bill. And also, by the way, it passed the House with a much wider margin, meaning that there were Democrats who voted against it last time who voted against for it this time. It was pure politics. Now, are we looking at something that is like, I mean, Phil, is it still a thing? Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, I could pick any number of stories, but let me just pick one in your backyard. How about this one? I'll second in the stack here. 1819 News, Dateline 2 days ago. Have you seen this? 1819 News, Elmore County, Alabama. Sheriff's deputies arrested Yordi Centeno Melchor, an illegal alien, for attempted kidnapping. Here's the thing. He's been deported 5 times. 5 times. But he was in the parking lot of a grocery store or something in a town called Holtville down in Elmore County. A 17-year-old female was moving her buggy after loading her car, and this Hispanic male, who was later identified as the guy Centeno Melchor, was approached, and he demanded that she get in the car. He was trying to kidnap her. She was able to resist and got away from him. Police later caught him. When they did a ICE detainer with him, they found out that he had been deported 5 times previously. That's right here in Alabama. That's right here. How about this one? This is on Fox News. Dateline today. Twice deported illegal immigrant charged in his girlfriend's murder. Yep, this one occurred in Salt Lake. So an illegal immigrant from Mexico is now accused of killing his Utah girlfriend. He was deported in December and then returned to Utah just days before her body was recovered. His name is Nestor Rocha Aguayo. Why are they all hyphenated? Why are all these names hyphenated? Anyway,
don't trust hyphenated names.
I don't trust hyphenated names, and I don't. And I'm seeing more. But anyway, he says a 24-year-old from Sinaloa, Mexico. He had been apprehended in connection with his girlfriend's disappearance. Her name was Talia Benward. And ICE now confirms that he was also twice removed from the United States. Twice. Entered the country illegally in 2016, was convicted at that point on local charges, and sent back to Mexico, at which point he's crept back in January of this past year. Get this. His priors are robbery, aggravated assault, property damage, 2 counts of possession with intent to distribute, failure to stop at the command of a law enforcement officer, reckless driving, interfering with a peace officer, operating a vehicle on an unopened street, burglary, assault, and unlawful detention, and now murder. It's a problem.
Just a bit of a problem.
Just a bit. Just a tad. Oh, wait. There's more. I'm not sure. How much time do we have for the break?
Like, about 30 seconds.
I'm going to continue this after the break, but listen, the bottom line is I got stories right now. I gave you one from Alabama, one from Utah. How about one from, we got one here from Boston. We got one here from, where is this one? Palm Beach, Florida. We got one here from South Carolina. We got one here, Massachusetts. Listen, they're all over the place. Is it a problem? Yeah. You know what makes it worse? Is they are crimes that should not even happen. I don't mean that in terms of the criminal act itself. I mean that but for their actual illegal presence, there wouldn't be a crime. This is not controversial, but it is maddening. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a few text messages. Let me see what I can find here. Dustin from Hazel Green sent me a YouTube link. I can't open it right now, but I appreciate it, Dustin. We'll check it out later. John from Harvest said, speaking of illegal immigration, have you seen where Trump is already having an impact and he hasn't even taken office yet? Oh, yeah, in a lot of ways. He said his hardline rhetoric and tariff threats are pressuring Mexico to crack down on migrant caravans and dispersing them to make it harder. You know what? Thank you for reminding me of that, John. John from Harvest, I just saw a headline on that earlier, and I meant to go open the story. There it is. Mexico completely disperses a migrant caravan heading to the U.S. ahead of the Trump inauguration. It says the Mexican government is working hard to break up migrant caravans trying to make the treacherous journey north to the U.S. Faced with the prospect of massive tariffs on goods and under the new administration, Mexico has been dispersing migrants throughout the country to keep them far from the U.S. border, including dropping them off at the once vibrant tourist hotspot of Acapulco.
Wait, so you mean not kowtowing and giving countries what they want, than actually being, hardline?
Yeah.
They actually respond.
I mean, I don't know what to say to that.
But he sounds like a madman.
He's MAGA.
Yeah.
Those MAGA Republicans. I got news, man. This is classic. This is an example of what happens when you're a leader and you actually know how to lead and you say what you mean and you mean what you say. And they know he's going to do it, too.
Exactly. That's what causes the turmoil.
And I tell you what, the drug cartels, they better be on notice. I hope he does drop a JDAM right in the middle of a drug lab somewhere in the jungles of northern, Mexico. David from Huntsville says, the Democrat congressman saying that, he's actually a senator, saying the illegal migrants have the right to due process. Oh, Raskin.
Yeah,
that's right. Let me start over again. He was right. The Democrat congressman saying that illegal migrants have the right to due process like a citizen is wrong. That is not the case. There's still due process in the United States, regardless of your status. But Raskin was still wrong about the way he was approaching it.
I think they forget that them being an illegal immigrant is a crime already. They've already committed a crime being an illegal immigrant. It's like that clip of Homan and AOC.
Yes.
She's like, seeking asylum is not a crime. Trying to get her sound bites. Like, not coming into the country at the port of entry, coming in illegally is a crime under statute 8.
Her on it.
It's like, that is, it's in the name, illegal immigrant. That's what I don't.
But that same, what you just said, there was another debate that I almost sent the audio to you for, but I chose not to just because of timing. And the Republican who was in the debate that I think Raskin had been speaking in earlier said, my colleagues across the aisle can't even say the words illegal alien. It's in the law. It says illegal alien, and they can't even say that. Speaking of which, let's go back to some of the stuff that's in my stack right here. How about this one? Immigration and Customs Enforcement have now arrested a Dominican illegal immigrant charged with sex crimes and kidnapping in Boston. Yep. Another hyphenated name, by the way. Emilio Jose Pena Casilla. Why do they hyphenate all the names?
I don't know. It's
I don't recall ever seeing that before.
It's trendy lately.
Anyway, Emilio Jose Pena Casilla, a 46-year-old, is now charged with assault with intent to rape, kidnapping, two counts of indecent assault and battery on a person 14 or older, and intimidation of an official witness or juror, was now arrested on December 17th in Boston. This dateline 2 days ago. Pena Casilla entered the U.S. illegally near Eagle Pass, Texas in January of 23. He was enrolled in what they called an Alternatives to Detention program, which means go you therefore, we'll call you when we're ready to bring you down for your hearing. But for some reason, he was removed from the program a month later. No one has an explanation for that. ICE says they issued a detainer on him, but it was ignored by the local officials in Boston. Go figure. Why? Because Boston is a sanctuary city. They limit or forbid cooperation with local law enforcement with ICE. And they even doubled down on their policies recently. They're like all in. Well, we're just going to continue to let... Now they're arresting sex crimes illegals right there in their backyard. How about this one? An illegal migrant from Guatemala was arrested after molesting a 5-year-old girl inside her home. This is a very graphic article. I won't read it to you. Fox News had it 2 days ago. But Nicholas Jose Francisco faces 2 counts of sexual battery of a child under the age of 12, is now being held without bail in Palm Beach County, Florida. Unreal. Unstinking believable. Is there a call on the line? No?
No, somebody was calling to inform us that in Mexico they use the mother and the father's last name, so that's where the hyphenated names come from.
Oh. Well, there you have it.
There you have it.
I still don't trust hyphenated names.
I don't either.
Okay. Foxnews.com, Dateline January 4th. So what, 4 days ago? A suspected illegal migrant was arrested in South Carolina on Thursday after officials say he made a fake bomb threat. So bottom line, here's the deal. Illegal alien driving an 18-wheeler pulled over for not having a tag. When they detained him on the scene, he made a threat, said he had a bomb in the truck. They had to stop the entire interstate. I-85 was stopped for 4 hours as they had to bring in officials for what turned out to be a fake bomb threat by an illegal who was just mad that he got pulled over for breaking the law and being illegal. Just can't make this stuff up. I keep going. What really bugs me is it does keep going. Like, I've got another one here from El Salvador. An El Salvadoran illegal immigrant, Fox News reports just a few weeks ago, wanted for allegedly sexually assaulting a child, has now been arrested by ICE. Where is this one? This is in Boston again. This is another one, not the same one before. This is 55-year-old Hugo Israel Ruiz on felony charges of indecent assault of a child under the age of 14. How about this one? From November. ICE arrests 3 illegal migrants in Massachusetts, two of which were charged with child rape. One was convicted of the same crimes in Brazil. I could go on and on and on, but the reality is this. The Lake and Riley Act needs to get passed. There's no way around it. The Lake and Riley Act needs to get passed. If I'm not mistaken, too, by the way, all of Alabama's delegation voted for it in the House, to include our 2 Democrats. So that's a plus. They all voted for it. Yay. Go Alabama. Bipartisan. Supporting the Lake and Riley Act. It now goes to the U.S. Senate where it needs to pass. I believe that John Thune is going to put it on the floor pretty soon. That's my understanding. The headlines that I read said that Katie Britt, by the way, Alabama's Katie Britt is now the deputy whip for the U.S. Senate, which is a position of leadership. And like, she's second in charge of what's known as the whip, trying to get the votes together. That means she's seen as someone who can get votes. Oh, by the way, she is now whipping her own bill. So she is out there gathering up the votes, and I'm going to bet this thing hits the floor by next week in the Senate. And my hope is it's one of the first bills that goes to Donald Trump's desk. My only question, see, what's next week? The inaugural is in 12 days. I wonder if they might stage it so that it's coming to the president. I don't know what happens if they, no, that's right. They've convened the Congress. They can transmit the bills on schedule. It doesn't have to be that we don't have to worry about who was president at the time. Yeah. So the 118th Congress is now in session. They're passing bills. The transmission of the bills is a formal process. I mean, believe it or not, they actually have to walk things across the rotunda and transmit them that way. We did it in Montgomery. Yeah. It had to be transmitted from the 5th floor to the 7th floor. It was an official thing. It left the basket with a signature from the Speaker of the House to go to the basket in the Senate, and it could stay in the basket until the pro tem signed it out.
How about that? It's not, you figure everything will be like you know.
No, it's not like an email.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, here's a bill.
It's a. In fact, they have different color jackets in Montgomery. It's a green jacket, a blue jacket. So the blue jacket bills, I believe, were Senate, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while since I was there. And the green jackets, I think, were the House coming up. So blue jacket bills have signatures on the outside. I signed many of them as a chairman, you know, coming out of my committee. And then it would transmit to the floor where it had to be read, and then it could be voted on, and then it, you know, debated, and then transmitted down to the House, and then the same process starts over again. It's very formal. The bottom line is this. In D.C., the Laken Riley Act is now through the House. The Laken Riley Act just allows us to get rid of these thugs, these criminals, these perpetrators who are already here illegally, who don't deserve consideration of any kind other than deportation. Get them out of our country. Because but for their very presence, there are victims now who would not have to go through the things they're going through, or for that matter, families who would not have lost loved ones like Laken Riley's family. All right, you guys, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back and change the dipper. I got to talk to you about the driving tax. The what? Yeah, the driving tax. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. I'm watching, by the way, on the screen, both the screen up on the wall here in the studio, CNN reporting that there are now at least two deaths in the fires in California. And on the right, the Fox News screen is reporting, you know, how the winds are prevailing and the gusts are still blowing 60 to 80 miles an hour in some places. And yeah, I'm like, oh, some up to 100 miles an hour, according to CNN. And Fox is reporting that there are now 365,000 citizens in California without power. That's just unreal what's happening out there. The devastation and the flames are like, I mean, you see forest fires, but this is like a raging inferno.
It's like scary. Like, yeah. Like send chills down your spine videos. I feel like I sometimes get desensitized. I hear there's a new California wildfire because it's like I feel like there's at least one every year. But yeah. This is the one. Like these videos, I think are one of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. There they are, almost 400,000 people without power in California now, is what they're saying.
Yeah, and you mentioned this too. It's not like it's, you know, in the woods of California. This is like L.A., Hollywood.
Yes,
like,
this is L.A., exactly.
Like the videos of the sun coming up this morning of like the flames and the smoke on the skyline and the sun, like it was like apocalyptic, and it's just really scary stuff.
It really is. It's horrifying. It's also just maddening. So yeah, I want to encourage you guys, pray for California. There's a lot of, I mean, yes, their politics are jacked up, but their politics are not their people. The vast majority of California's counties are now red in terms of their politics, but the major population centers are what overwhelms the political aspects. And so you got San Francisco and Oakland and LA that are just blue as they can be. And I can't help but wonder how much some of this, I mean, I look at this and think, okay, you got some of the elites now that are having their houses burned down. This is not just, I mean, and here's what's maddening though. Let me back up. Finish that one phrase, Phil. You got elite power brokers now having their multi-million dollar houses burned down. You can't help but wonder if they're going to demand some change in the policies that allow these flames to be, you know, unabated.
Now that they're actually impacted by it.
Now that they're impacted by it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the other piece of this is how many people are on social media going, well, it's because of climate change we're dealing with all this. Mm-hmm. And they believe it. That's their way out. That's their knuckleheaded way out of all of the absolutely, you know, monstrously bad policies that they have. It's gross. Let me jump on a couple of text messages, and then we're going to switch gears here in a minute. Go to a totally different topic. It's rather amusing and maddening all at the same time. I'm going to talk about driving taxes. You mean like toll roads? No, I mean like driving taxes. Like you just want to drive, so you got to pay money. it's going to go over like not very well. Steve from Tennessee, by the way, says, look up the lyrics of the old Beatles songs, The Tax Man. It has come true. If you want to, how did he know I was going to talk about? Oh, yeah. I guess I said that right before the break, didn't I? He said, if you want to drive, I'll tax the street. Yep. That's where we are, Steve. You know what? Maybe I need to go ahead and get that and just have that little soundbite ready. And then Roughly Ann from Huntsville has sent us a challenge. You seen this?
Yeah, I did, actually.
So Roughly Ann from Huntsville says, hey, JP and Phil, let's have some fun. Let's see what everybody predicts for their area, how much snow falls. It'll be as fun as March Madness. Winner gets John's approval. All right, so what's your prediction there, JP? By the way, hang on a second.
Yeah,
you've got a meteorologist in the family, and I don't know that I should. I mean, you've got a leg up on everybody.
Well, listen, he's wrong a lot, too. So.
Oh, okay. He's calling out your brother on the air.
I like to poke fun at him like that. If we're talking Huntsville, I would guess.
What part of Huntsville?
That's
up on the mountain or down the lowlands? Jones Valley?
Let's just, okay, how about we say the most of anywhere in Huntsville gets? All right, let's just say that. Like the most that anywhere in Huntsville gets, I would say 8 inches.
Huntsville city limits?
Yes.
All right, we're not talking about the Huntsville metro area. We're talking about Huntsville city limits.
Huntsville city limits, the most like accumulation in one spot, I would say would be 8 inches.
8 inches.
I'm gonna go high there.
I feel like that's not drifts. You're talking about like on the ground, 8 inches.
Mm. I'll go a little high there.
Whew. Oh, jeez. Okay, so I'm gonna. You know what? I might have said I'm gonna go ahead and say 6.5.
I was gonna go 6. I decided to get a little gutsy there.
So 6.5. All right. So I'm in for 6.5 inches. And I'm going to keep watching the models, and I reserve the right to update my prediction.
Hey now.
So I'm going to call your brother and find out what he knows. So 6.5 inches. You say 8 inches, but we're also our studio right now. We're in Gadsden, so we're an hour and a half southeast of Huntsville, on the other side of Sand Mountain. And the funny thing is, I can't tell you how many times I've seen snow on the mountain on Sand Mountain, which is like literally 10 minutes from here. And nothing down here in the lowlands by the river.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I live on the river. And it's beautiful when there's snow down here, but nothing. So I'm going to go ahead and say that here, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we're going to get 2.5 to 3 inches.
Wow.
I went there.
I'll go 1.
That's just no good. All right. Couple of text messages, then we'll go to a break. Mike from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, you're awesome. That's it. That's the text. Man, Mike. Thank you. Appreciate you.
No, you're awesome, Mike.
Yes, that's right. That's the comment. That's the response. John from Huntsville says, I'm going 1/2 inch of snow for Huntsville. 1/2 inch.
Wow. It's pessimistic.
John is like, yeah, he's like Mr. Pragmatic. Devin from Brownsboro is in for 5. There. Okay. And wow. He says, by the way, I said, I wonder if I get the tax money from the streets that are named after me. If you have one, let me know. No, I don't think so. Yeah, there's Williams Avenue downtown. Do I get paid for it? No, not going to happen. All right, we're coming right back. I'm going to tell you what just happened in New York. And oh, by the way, were they trying to copy London? And did they even pay attention to what happened in Washington State? All of this, it's a tax on the mere fact that you need to drive somewhere. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes woo, all the way from the Tennessee line down to and from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good. And next Monday, we go live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Going to be on WGOW out of Chattanooga. Looking forward to making it a regional show. So, thank you very much. We look forward to being with you guys in Tennessee on a more in-depth basis coming up next Monday. By the way, you can always follow the show no matter where you are in the whole wide world by going to the World Wide Web. Why? Because we stream the show every single day. So on audio and video, I mean, you can watch the inner workings of the Right Side Studio, but you can, go to YouTube, go to Twitch, go to Rumble, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. You can go to 2 places on Twitter or X. At Send Phil Williams is my address on Twitter. At @rightside_media is the company address. And we have the show broadcasting right now. That's how Charlene listens to the show. More often than not, she winds up just listening to it on her phone. So just know this. If you go to one of those platforms and you're listening to us, if there's a like or a subscribe option, we would greatly appreciate it if you would. Number one, it'll help you find us quicker next time because, and there's no charge. You just click on that, and that way it always goes to what you subscribe to for you. But it helps us grow as a company. The more we have in terms of subscriptions or likes or follows, those platforms give us expanded capability. So do us the favor and do that. It would mean the world to us and help us grow. Right Side Media, we are doing some crazy cool stuff right now. We got four separate podcast lines out. We got the audio podcast of the radio show, which has like almost 300,000 downloads now. We've got, of course, the daily radio show. We got an op-ed that comes out every week in like 18 different newspapers around the region. So Right Side Media, stay with us, man. Sky's the limit. We're going places.
Yeah, if you want to see a bunch of liberals go after Phil on the content that's up on the YouTube, you go check it out. It's pretty funny.
If they're screaming at you, you're doing something right.
And it's funny because I'm sitting there and I'm like, they're going after you, but I'm the one sitting here reading this. I'm the one reading it. And I'm just amused.
All right, dipper number two, the driving tax. What the heck? New York City, by the way, you know, this is like California in a sense. I can't stand their politics, but I love New York City. I mean, it's one of those places that it was a bucket list item for Charlene and I to get up there and go to some Broadway shows and, you know, spend time in the Big Apple. And we did a few years ago. They just entered a new realm of taxation in New York City. Pray tell, Phil, what could it be? Well, they have now what they call the congestion charge. No, that does not mean if you're stopped up. No, it's cold season. I got to pay a tax. No, it's about driving. The first congestion charge scheme for vehicles in the U.S. has now come into effect, says the BBC. Phil, you went to the BBC? I did. Because you know why? Because the BBC has dealt with this. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But just the other day, car drivers will now have to pay up to $9 a day for driving in downtown New York City. $9 a day. And if they take a picture of your car and you don't have the requisite markings indicating you have paid your permit fee, then you're going to have they have 1,400 cameras they put up now. 1,400 traffic cameras are now there to collect taxes. They've got like 110 different detection points with a total of 1,400 cameras surveying the traffic. And they're putting up 800 signs that tell everybody. I mean, it's just gross, to be honest.
That can't be legal, can it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, first of all, I look at this and say, whatever happened to being able to face your accuser?
Yeah.
Because sure. You can't go to court and say, this picture was sent to me of my car driving in downtown, and that's not me. Well, I'm sorry, sir. It appears to be you. I'd like to face my accuser. Well, it was a camera. What do you do?
Yeah.
But yeah, allegedly it's supposed to ease New York's notorious, like, you know, traffic downtown. That's just part of being in the big metro area. But what they're really trying to do is raise billions of dollars for public transport. That's what they're doing. They want you to ride on the subways where people get murdered. That's what they want you to do. They want you to take the bus. So yeah, $9 a day to enter what's known as the congestion zone at peak hours. And then $2.25 at other times of the day. Small trucks and non-commuter buses pay $14.40 to enter Manhattan at peak times. It's just unreal. You're going to have to start buying what's known as the Easy Pass bill. So you're gonna wind up having to pay. It's like a toll to be where you, I mean, if you work in downtown, sorry, public transportation or pay the fines. That is what happens in liberal land. But by the way, they're already seeing pitfalls. Go figure. New York Post reports, as of yesterday, commuters who are driving across what's known as the Ed Koch Queensboro Bridge, which has been toll-free for its entire life, are suddenly trapped because the way the traffic flows across that bridge, there's a turnaround point where you may have to go around to get away from Manhattan, but if you're not careful, you're in Manhattan without meaning to, but because you came across the bridge, you're constrained, and therefore you're suddenly in a tax zone without meaning to, without having intent to be there. You're just shuttled into it. So it says people driving across Queens will also get charged. There's no way to avoid the congestion zone just to get onto the bridge. So you're wanting to get out. There's another point. You're wanting to depart. You didn't even go into Manhattan except to get to the bridge that takes you home. Guess what? Got to pay a toll just to be able to go home. You're passing through. Sorry, we need your money. I've got a map here of the congestion zone, and it's just like how do you keep track of it? I'm holding the camera. How do you keep track of this? Well, that's the thing. There are already apps and online mapping that are teaching people how to avoid it. So what's going to wind up happening? I mean, they say it's to ease congestion. Okay, to some degree, it probably will ease congestion. What it's really doing is just raiding people's wallets. But this is what happened in, do you remember we talked about this on the show about a year ago? London Mayor Sadiq Khan, who is a notorious liberal, decided he was going to ease the traffic in what he called a ULEZ zone, an ultra-low emission zone. Yeah. So London now has 96% of all vehicles have to be compliant. They're not only looking at who's driving, they're looking at what you're driving in London. So when they have cameras everywhere, every stinking where. It is one of the most surveilled cities in the world. And they are using them now, these ULEZ cameras, to gauge who's driving, do they have the proper pass, and are they driving what is known as a ultra-low emission zone vehicle? So not only are they trying to reduce congestion, they're trying to force you into a vehicle you don't want. It's unbelievable. Well, they raised so much money on this at first that the mayor decided to make it all of London. So it's not just like one zone now, it's all of London. Which, what does that tell you? With liberals, it's never enough. There will always be a ramp up. If they see a buck, they want two. They will not ever turn away from the opportunity to take money out of your pocket. And so the ULEZ has now been expanded to all of London's 32 boroughs. And it's allegedly going to tackle air pollution. What it does, though, is it makes people that can't afford it and are just working folks that are trying to drive to work now have to buy a more expensive, newer vehicle in order to pass the inspections to be allowed to drive to work. In all of London. Y'all, that's like all of New York City. London is massive. The idea. Okay, well, here's where it gets really bad. There are people now that are protesting to the point that there's a group, and I mentioned it yesterday, they call themselves Blade Runners. They go out in the dark of night wearing ski masks with saws, and they start cutting down cameras.
I don't condone illegal activity, but that's pretty sick.
Pretty sick in a good way?
It's pretty sick, yeah. Yeah, yes, it is. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty brassy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Man's got some kahunas. So yeah, London is being hit by, they call it vandalism, which technically it is, but they're heroes to the common man. They have a huge following on social media now. They go out in the dark of night. They get up to a post. They crank up the power saw. One person stands guard. Another person's filming it. And then the other person just starts cutting that saw down. And then they attack the camera once it hits the ground so that it can't be reused. And then they basically send a warning to the government that, you know, this is going to continue to happen. You're causing distress and anxiety. Stop it. It just... By the way, one guy, this is London now, one guy, what's his name? Joseph Nichols. This is just about 2 months ago. It was just sentenced to, he was given a prison sentence of 10 months for daring to post supportive statements on Facebook about the Blade Runners.
Oh, how dare he?
Yeah. He basically said things on social media that the government didn't like about the big, heavy taxation / social engineering experiment they were doing called ULEZ, and he's now gotten a prison sentence out of it. They suspended it for 18 months, meaning he's basically on probation, but they also stiffed him with some big fines.
That's England for you.
Which is unbelievable. I got a call I'll take real quick for the break. Mike from Harvest. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir, and how's Mr. Field today, sir?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about the taxation there in New York and such.
Yeah.
And the folks cutting those cameras up, yeah, they are vandals, but you know, they're heroic vandals. So
yeah. They're Robin Hood vandals.
About, there's a county in North Carolina, I think it's Ballard, where when Hurricane Helene went through, all these people lost their houses, but the county's trying to collect property taxes on those non-existent houses, and they've told them that they won't be reassessed again until 2026 or so. Yeah. You may want to take a look at that if you haven't already.
No, that's crazy, but I don't doubt it. Like I said, government sees a dollar, and good luck ever getting them to stop looking at the dollar. They'll look at it and see it twice. I've got a situation right now for a client in my law firm that was paying her property taxes and was told that, when do you want to pay the rest of it? She said, what rest of it? It turns out they had been duly assessing the property to two different people who both thought they had a deed to the property for 20 years collecting taxes from two different places. It's just unbelievable. You got to watch government, man. They've never seen a dollar they didn't like.
Nope. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Bill, you have a wonderful day, and I hope you have a wonderful New Year. And I hope both of you are horribly wrong about the snow in Huntsville, because I want zero.
All right. We'll see you, man. Take care.
All right, sir.
Got to run to a break. Let's take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll tell you. So this whole thing about driving tax, this is what liberals do. They're trying to drive you out of driving. You hear that? Drive you out of driving. Drive you out of driving. And yet, I've got other ways they're looking at doing it. I'll tell you about those right here in the U.S. when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. All right, so let me say a couple things, and I'll run to the phones before I run out of time. So one of the other ways they're trying to get you on the driving tax, yeah, that's what it is. There's a new movement that's making its way around that's already being touted in Maryland. They've got a pilot program in California. There's even been discussion in Tennessee. Come on, Tennessee. About charging drivers based on the number of miles they drive. Now, let me just point out, those of y'all that are heavy commuters, commercial truck drivers, how do you live with this? But here's the other thing. Actually, there's two other things that you need to know. There's only one way they can do that, and that's for them to get the information from you, and since they never trust you, what does that mean? They're going to put a device in your car to monitor. That's what'll happen. You'll have some... Listen, they just will. Why do I know that? Because they already have been. Why do you think that Progressive Insurance gave you a discount for safe driving? They caused you to put a chip in your car that reported your driving habits. And if you weren't safe, you didn't get the discount. Well, the same is going to be done for the government. They're going to put a chip in your car, and they're going to monitor your driving habits. And, oh, by the way, they're going to also charge you in some places for how many miles you drive. That's their workaround. They're worried. Oh, wait, we said electric cars. Oh, my gosh, what do? We use gas taxes to build roads. Now what? Oh, my gosh. Let's monitor their driving habits, make them pay by the mile. Wonderful. Did you know? I did not know this till I was getting ready for the show today. Did you know that within the Biden-sponsored infrastructure bill, in the $1 trillion, 2,700-page infrastructure bill, that on page 508, there is a national motor vehicle per mile user fee pilot program planned. I kid you not. I've got a story here from the Washington Policy Institute, much like the Alabama Policy Institute. A per mile user fee program would have drivers pay for every mile, and there is a embed in the infrastructure bill that was passed by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer that would require this pilot program to be pursued. I got just about 2 minutes before I go to the break. Let me go to the phones real quick. Tom with all the kids. Hey, Tom with all the kids from Huntsville, how are you? Oh, did we lose him?
Yep, sounds like we did.
Rats. Tom with all, one of the kids got hold of the phone.
Probably.
In case you didn't hear, it's one of our new guys who calls in. He just called in for the first time yesterday. Tom with all the kids has 18 children.
That's impressive.
18.
He said he had a good story about getting pulled over in New York City, too, so it's a shame.
Listen, I'm going to bet that they had, you have to have an 18-passenger van, two of them, just to get everybody to, church on Sunday.
Yeah, that's, I don't even know if they make a big, you need an 18-wheeler. Just put it on the back.
All right, let me go back to that real quick because I know I got about a minute and a half now for the break. So, yes, WashingtonPolicy.org is where you can go to see it. This story came out in 2021, well after the bill had been passed. The $1 trillion, 2,700-page infrastructure bill buried on page 508 is a, quote, national motor vehicle per mile user fee pilot program, end quote. The purpose would be to test the feasibility of a national per-mile charge as well as increase public awareness of what the policy change could look like. I'll tell you what it'll look like. It'll look like, you know, riots in the streets is what it'll look like. It'll look like people protesting in a big way. It'll look like people marching on the Capitol again. Just saying. Anyway, what it would do, supposedly, was project a plan by which drivers would pay for every mile they drive, rather than paying their taxes at the pump. Yeah. They push everybody to EVs, and suddenly they realize they might lose a dollar. What are they going to do? Get the dollar back. So the bottom line is they're trying to reduce or replace state and federal taxes with a system in which everybody pays regardless of what kind of vehicle you use. Listen, I'm just saying, that ain't going to fly. There's no way in the world everyone's going to allow you to monitor you. By the way, what do you do if you have an older vehicle? What if I ever get back to a classic Mustang again? You're not loading a computer chip in that thing. What do you do? How do you manage that? Then you're going to make me have a permit just to drive? Well, I already do that, don't I? It's called a license with a tag. I mean, where does it stop? Bottom line is, this ain't going to fly. I'm talking about free America rising up. All right, stay tuned. We're coming right back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to the weekend. You're halfway there right now. Getting you to Snowmageddon on Friday. But it is Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. That means there's a thing we like to do called the Grand Council. We bring in two of my brethren who've been in talk radio longer than me, both pundits in their own right, and we ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. So let me call the roll and see if we have a quorum. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poore Show, also, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 19 News. Jeff Poore, are you there?
I'm present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. And turning to the north from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting. Oh, by the way, he also hosts the Dale Jackson Show, is a program director, and allegedly writes and does stuff with Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Oh!
All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, JP.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, I pronounce a quorum. We are now in. First question, Jeff Poore, what do you got?
I'm going to go curveball here, but it won't go away. I know there's other more pressing topics, but the gambling question and we're going to get a new senator in the Greg Reed seat, but I see a bunch of stories. I see a Nathaniel Edbear story up on Yellowhammer right now about it. Are they going to try this again?
When have they not tried it again? I mean,
they
I know
took a year off. Remember,
you're right. They do.
Years ago.
This is so. If they're not going to do it, this is the year they're not going to do it because people are declaring for their races. And so, either A, they jump in there, do a special session, try to cram it down everybody's throats real quick. But right now, they don't have a bunch of neophyte new guys. These people have everybody has at least 2 years under their belt, if not more. I guess the Phil Williams common sense side of me says, don't do it. Surely they're not going to do it. But I'll be honest with you. I've been in Montgomery enough to know they're really talking about doing it. So there's that. What do you think there, Dale?
So I spoke with Rex Reynolds today about Alabama politics this week, which you never mentioned in my introduction, by the way. I don't know why that is. You've been on it, but I don't know why you don't reference it. But I asked him about the lottery by itself. He completely dismissed that, and we asked about the conversation about gambling, and he basically said it's going to have to come from the Senate. They're going to have to do it. We already went out there and did those votes, but it just sounds like there are kind of forces around that still want to try to do it. It's just no one knows what it's going to look like that could actually pass.
Well, so and I'll be honest with you, that's the cycle. 1 year it's like, well, it's going to have to come from the Senate. We're not going there. And the next year it's going to have to come from the House. We're not going there. And that's what they do. They put it off on the other body as if it's all their fault. You know they want it. And they're just begging, please, Senate, please send us the bill. But they did. They burned some political capital last year. I don't know if they have that much political capital. The actual effort to oppose it last year was pretty epic and pretty solid. It's your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I don't know who would carry it. A little bit of buzz out there about maybe like a Randy Price or somebody, since that's Blackshear's over there in that district. But, you know, a new pro tem, and he's lukewarm on it at best. The question I would have, I don't think they could get the votes. They got to flip two votes now.
Yeah.
Who would it be if they could get Albritton and they could get something PCI likes, you know, then who?
Well, that's the thing. I think if they truly are saying it has to start in the Senate, it's got less of a chance of going anywhere. If they're saying it'll start in the House, then you're going to watch everything get consumed for a while. But anyway, hey, let me take the next question. Jeff, I actually threw it to you first because I thought sure you were going to – I was giving you room for your own question.
I know what's coming, but
you know what's coming. You know what's coming. You guys put it up today on 1819 News. I think the lead went up at, what, 2 o'clock or thereabouts. So Tommy Tuberville is openly saying he is not ruling out a run for governor. So, your thoughts, both of yous. Tommy Tuberville for governor, yay or nay? What are your thoughts? Jeff, it's your story. Take it.
No, I think this is. There's been a lot of talk about this, and it's been dismissed, but let me hear me out here real quick. Tommy Tuberville's got 2 good years right now in the Senate left. And when I say good years, I mean 2 years with Trump as president.
Yep.
And in the majority. After 26, guys, the Republicans could lose the majority. And, you know, does Tommy Tuberville want to commit himself to another 6 years in Washington, D.C.? To who knows what lies ahead? You know, 2 years of Trump, a Democrat president, you know, who knows what kind of impeachment's going to be out there? I think Washington gets really, really interesting post 26. Is not necessarily a place for Tommy Tuberville. So he'll get his time in the Senate where he can really do something meaningful. Now you look at 27 and 28 and beyond, you know, Washington's just not, who knows, but governor, you could do something with that. So that's why I think, you know, you got to at least think it's a real possibility.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I think that, on a personal level, I think Tuberville actually does very much dislike D.C. He's open about the fact that he has a disdain for D.C. politics, a disdain. But, you know, if he thinks that it's politics free in Montgomery, there's a deep state there, too, and there's also major politics. But I think that he anticipates that he would enjoy being back on home turf as the governor. I'm of the mind, I've been of the mind all along that he's going to run. I really think he is. I think that Ainsworth is the one people recognize as playing for the role all along. But I think that the not so dark horse is the fact that Tuberville looms in the distance. And that's going to be a serious race with the name ID on both of those guys. And I think Tuberville would have the upper edge at that point. Dale, your thoughts?
I mean, the general consensus is that Tuberville does not want to do away with the conversation about him running for governor. Like, he's fine with this conversation taking place. And who wouldn't love this conversation taking place about them? But I just, like Jeff said, he's got 2 years left where stuff can go down. Does he want to spend half that time back here campaigning? Is he going to do that? I don't think that's what he wants to do. I just don't see it. I haven't seen it for a while. Jeff's been telling me I'm dumb. It's pretty much the general thing he says to me every day I talk to him. But I will tell you, I just don't know why Tuberville would want to run down and do that. But apparently he's opening the door. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. I still lean toward it doesn't make much sense.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's hard for him to come back and do that. I think he loves being out among people. I think every person, he's a U.S. senator, so everybody in this state is his constituent. And all he has to do is drive around the state and go to see groups and eat chicken fingers and talk
also,
and tell them all the things he's been doing in D.C. on their behalf. And he's actually running for governor by doing that. Take it away.
Also, he's not going to have to run a campaign like he ran in 20. Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
He's got a lot built in. Ainsworth will. Ainsworth's got a lot of work to do. No one knows who the lieutenant governor is.
Yeah. Ainsworth got enough ID to run if he doesn't have the super challenge of a super ID like, you know, Tuberville. Question before we go to the break there. Dale, what do you got?
So, did I understand this correctly? Terry Sewell voted against deporting illegal immigrants who abuse women.
Yeah.
But then she voted for the Lake and Riley Act. Is that because Shamari Figures was there in the body voting for the Lake and Riley Act? Is that what that's about? What else could it be?
Jeff, you first.
I don't know. I don't understand the logic of Terry Sewell. I think maybe there's probably more of a friendly relationship since Katie Britt's so involved with it, with Terry Sewell and Katie Britt. But the Shamari Figures first vote was for the Lake and Riley. It's kind of an interesting story.
It is. And I don't pretend to try and put logic on Democrat votes. But the reality is, I think they were also somewhat trapped. I think on this Lake and Riley Act, they recognize the momentum is on the bill, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of it. So I think that she voted because that's what she knew she had to do in this case. What, Dale?
Look at the vote. The first bill said that if you abuse women, you got to go. She says, no, you're good, you can stay. The second one says, if you steal something, you got to go. And she says, yeah, you got to go.
Like I said, try to put logic on Democrat votes and you'll be here all day scratching your head and just looking at the sky and thinking it's purple. I can't explain it, but you are wise for pointing it out. Did I just call Dale wise? Holy crap. It's time
for
a break.
We gotta go.
Let's go to a break real quick. All right. Round one, the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and this little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going right back now. Round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, second round. Jeff Poor, what you got?
How serious you take Gulf of America from Trump?
You know what? I think he'll do it. I think that he'll ask for Congress to do it because I think for the United States to recognize it that way, my understanding is it has to be congressional action. It can't be executive order. And then, you know, neighboring countries can choose whether they want to get on board or not because it's international waters largely. But why do we call it the Gulf of Mexico? But this is just, to me, this is a classic example of MAGA's back. I mean, it's like America first. Not only that, but it's not even just America first in what we do. It's America first in how we call it. And I'll be honest with you. I think he's serious enough to where if Congress will do it, he'll say, sure, I'll sign that bill. Dale?
The entire press conference was wild. It was the Trump we love.
Yes.
We need more of. And he said, what he said is, this is not America first. This is FU, America first. That's what this is. And he's making that very clear. It's a negotiating ploy, and I love it.
Jeff, it's your own question. What are you thinking, man? Gulf America?
Yeah, I still don't know what to make of it and how many people, you know, it seems silly, but I've said that about Trump on some things and then like later, oh, that's why he did this. So
it's brilliant because he forces people to come out against it and be like, yes. I don't want to call it Gulf of America. Oh, why not, you commie?
Yeah, that's
right.
I mean, the end result is the only people who don't like this are the ones who are embarrassed about being the big dog. And so if you want to be the biggest, baddest dog on the block, then guess what? You got to have the loudest bark. And that's just where we are. I think it's a hoot, man.
Do you think those days of like America, leading from behind or us American jingoism and all this stuff that the Trump phenomenon is kind of a pushback against that stuff?
Well, it is. And I think there's also a real, you know, there's a real clear case of morale being low among Americans, the populace. They're so sick of watching. Even the left is demoralized from watching Joe Biden fumble and stutter his way around for the last 4 years. And everybody wants to know that it's not just that we change the leader and we're going to have a better economy. They want to know that the America that they know and love and get misty-eyed when the flag waves is back. And so I think that kind of brash talk that, you know, that we're the cowboys of the world, I think that people are responding to that because they need it. They need the morale kick. And It's like Red Bull for the soul, man. That's what I think is what's happening. That was a great batch of quotes. You can use every one of them if you want to. All right, next question. I'm gonna stay in the same vein. Are we gonna make Greenland a U.S. territory? Is it gonna be Greenlandia, the U.S. colony of Greenland? Is it gonna be Trumplandia? What are we looking at here, Jeff? You first.
I don't know what this is, but it's kind of interesting. Like, you would think about Greenland, and are there minerals up there?
Yes.
Is there something, you know, why haven't they been exploited, if you will? Will someone else try to do it if we don't? That's a real question. It's not as if the scary Danish military is going to keep people away. So, no, it's random, but you get to thinking about it. I mean, well, what was Alaska? And look how Alaska turned out.
And the population of Greenland, by the way, is a little bit less than Madison, Alabama. So it's not like this is a heavily populated area. It's just a massive land, and it gives us a huge buffer. I mean, the case for this is kind of interesting. Nobody thought about this until Trump did. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, woo, that's neat. Dale Jackson, what do you think, Greenland?
On CNN, they were having a debate, and one of the morons on there said, if we go and invade Greenland, that'll activate Article 5 of NATO, and then we'll be at war with NATO. So the correct answer is not to go after Greenland. No, we need to bomb London. That's the correct answer. We stop London, we send a message to them, and then we just take Greenland. Don't even worry about the Danes. We don't need them. We don't need to talk to them. We've got to put the UK in its place.
Well, wait a minute. If we're a member of NATO, and we cause the problem, do we have to attack ourselves? Is that what's happening?
Fine. Launch a missile at Redstone Arsenal right now. Send a message to ourselves.
Wow.
That's what we have to do.
It gets pretty thick. I'm just going to lay it out there. I think they really are going to pursue it. There's no other reason why Donald Trump Jr. would go there except to have dialogue. But at the very least, what I think this is a clear indication that we want a greater opportunity from Greenland, whether it becomes our territory or not, whether we buy it or not, whether we just, you know, acquire more rights. That's what I think is going to happen.
What Trump's doing is actually just saying these things that he actually wants. He's negotiating with his own staff. He's negotiating with everyone publicly and hoping that everyone will come to the position he really has on a lot of different things and just get the hell out of my way.
Yeah, I don't know that he wants the expense of having a new territory and or state called Greenland. But I think he definitely wants better basing. He wants to keep China and Russia out of the waters. And I think he wants to make sure we have rights to the Arctic. We got 1 minute left. Last question, Dale Jackson, what do you got?
You cowards had an opportunity to ask this question, and you chose not to. Is Kay Ivey going to resign? This is the thing we're hearing. Is Kay Ivey going to resign?
That's funny. I almost asked that question, but it was more like I want to talk about Greenland. I think there is still a better than even chance that is being debated in the inner workings of the governor's office. I really do. I personally think that her health is difficult. She doesn't have any fire in her belly. And I think Ainsworth desperately wants a 1-year incumbency to help run against Tommy Tuberville. Jeff?
Yeah, real quick. I didn't ask it because I'm kind of tired of talking about it. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. I mean, we can't rule it out. And Dale, you know my answer to this question. We've gone round and round about it. But right now, I mean, she's not going to do it unless she has to.
All right, Dale, with about 10 seconds, yay or nay, is she going to resign? What are you thinking?
The only place I've seen this discussed is our text threat.
Well, maybe we are the progenitors of the story.
Thank you, Todd Stacy.
All right, guys.
Thank you, State of Alabama, for paying for Todd Stacy.
Appreciate both of you. That's Dale Jackson, WVNN and Yellowhammer News, and Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. And, oh, by the way, with 1819 News and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio with Right Side Media. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, the one I love, Alabama, y'all, Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like, woo, from way up at the Tennessee line down to Birmingham, from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for the good measure. And, oh, by the way, coming up on Monday, live on WGOW 1150 AM out of Chattanooga. So we're excited to be on the conservative news talk powerhouse of Chattanooga coming up on Monday and going forward. And so, yeah, looking forward to being a regional talk show. That's just very cool. It's all because of y'all, too, by the way. We can talk all we want to. If y'all ain't there listening, ain't nothing matters. And you guys have just made all you right side ruffians. We couldn't do this without you. You're the reason why we exist. So thank you very much. Line one, Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing pretty well, especially with Rudolf Schenker blasting out that riff from the Scorpions.
Big Scorpions fan, are you?
Oh yeah, I grew up on that stuff.
Outstanding. So. That's right. What's up, man?
But
what you
I
thinking?
Was thinking more personnel logistics in the state of Alabama.
All right.
I was thinking, okay, Kay Ivey resigns. Tommy Tuberville takes the governor's office.
Yeah.
And then since Auburn is apparently looking for a new head coach, Kay Ivey can go ahead and apply for that.
Wait, is Auburn looking for a new head coach?
Looking for one.
Did something happen already? Is Hugh Freeze out that I don't know about? What's going on? Is this... You just stop.
They put the freeze on him. In any case.
Okay.
Y'all have a great day. I was just picking on you, Carl. You have a good one, sir.
See you, Brian. I was looking at you, sports guy.
I know.
Making sure I didn't miss a news out.
No, he's not yet. I think we've talked about this last week, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this is do or die year for him. So maybe, yeah, if it doesn't work out,
KIV is coach. She is an Auburn person, by the way.
She is, yeah, unfortunately.
And I think that she was the Auburn, the rodeo, I forgot what they call it, but the Auburn rodeo they have every year. I think she was the first female winner of one of the rodeo events ever in the history of Auburn.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
She was spunky in her day, man. I mean, she was a hoot. And some of my favorite speech quotes are her when she was game on, but her game is not on.
You mean like... can't step higher than a high step or whatever that says.
Better than that. But like real stuff.
like actual quotes.
Yes. Like we've been, you know, in caucus meetings. Now, Senators, here's how we're going to do this. You know, she doesn't talk that way anymore. Mm. I'm going to jump into some California burning stuff here in a minute, but I got a bunch of text messages. You guys have been racking them up, so I need to get squared away here. Barry from Athens says, one of your hosts, which I guess he means Grand Council, mentioned that the guy who has 18 children might drive an 18-wheeler. No way he could have driven an 18-wheeler because he'd need to be able to get a CDL, and one has to be able to back up and unload to get a CDL.
I think that was me that said that.
That was you that said that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. JP did mention he did 18-wheeler to haul his kids around. Yes. So, Matt from Madison says, did you see the California fire presser with Idiot Joe announcing he was a great-grandpa?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty bad. He sitting there with. First of all, it was like a. I've never seen anything like this. They did a briefing, sort of like this lady was briefing Joe with a TV next to her, like with pictures, and then Joe was standing next to Newsom, and it was like a briefing. I've never seen a public PR briefing like that, which I thought was kind of insulting in that way. But then he mentions it and he's like, "Well, if there's any good news, I just found out I'm a great grandfather," and it's like. Nobody cares, Joe. People
that
are dying.
That was really the inappropriate time to say that.
Yeah, but like that just kind of points to the ever so high, stack of reasons why he's too incompetent to be president because he can't read a room.
Can't read the room.
He can't tell like people are dying. But I'm a great grandfather, guys.
Which is cool news, and you save that for a different time.
You save it for when
that's a tweet on your own time.
Yeah. You know, save it for when we're getting briefed on people dying.
The disaster relief efforts going on. Jeez, Pete. I mean, I'm talking the 20th can't get here fast enough.
No.
Bill from Huntsville says, Tuberville for governor, I am in, all exclamation points. There you go. I'm telling you, man, this is a thing.
He has my vote. He'd be an awesome governor.
Navy Phil from Athens says, might be an interesting task for those DOD and NASA engineers to develop a patch to change that mileage data. Oh, he's talking about the... So I hadn't even thought about this, Navy Phil. You are on it. So earlier I talked about the efforts to monitor your driving habits so they can tax your driving per mile. The only way they can do that is to get data from your car. The only way they can do that is to mandate that said data be collectible, meaning transmitted to the government. Well, at the very least,
you have to pull into a station to get inspected and have it downloaded. So then you're going to have, okay, how do we corrupt the data? You're right. Navy Phil, you're right. I sense, here it is, you're going to have black hat hackers creating a way for you to get around the mileage tax. That's that's epic. Dave from Madison said, Dave from Madison heard us talking yesterday. And he said, I had square pizza from Walmart for lunch.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah. But yeah, you can go buy it. They called it, who was it that said that their grocery store and it actually sell it called school pizza?
It was a store in Athens. I can't remember the name. Was it? Is there a Food City in Athens? I think there is.
There's Food City everywhere now.
There is, yeah.
It's right up there with, like, you know, Bruno's and Gregerson's and Winn-Dixie and all the rest of them. Brand new one in Owens Crossroads. David from Bucky's says, Phil, for us with gas-guzzling vehicles, wouldn't that be double taxation on us? We already pay high fuel tax at the pump. Now we pay taxes on the miles we drive. Yes. Yes, it would. David from Bucky's, yes, you are correct. So there's only one of two ways that happens. Either A, they leave a double taxation in place and you're forced to pay it in order to have the privilege of driving. Or B, they rescind the pump tax in favor of the drive-by-mile tax and then just trust that they can actually get the data. Like when you go buy, like all the pumps at your state, if you look at them, they all have a sticker on there. Every one of them has been regulated and monitored and the data gets reported. And the point of sale, if they want to stay in business, they will collect the taxes and remit them to the state. The state has to do very little work in it, except inspect them and make sure they're licensed. If they're relying upon you and your gas-guzzling vehicle to actually have a little chip embedded that will report good data to them without getting hacked, then it's going to be a whole new day.
Wait, so you mentioned during that dipper that Tennessee was thinking about it. What is the reason? I doubt it's for congestion. I doubt it's for carbon tax or whatever, but is it just for toll, like just to rob people of their money?
And I should clarify that Tennessee received a presentation from a group that was pressuring them to try and go this route. So the Tennessee legislature heard a presentation.
Yeah.
I don't know that it ever is going to become legislation in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But the point here is that state legislatures everywhere are watching as the push from D.C. has been driving the EV market. And they're suddenly realizing all you're doing is driving away our revenues. If people convert to electric, they're not there to pay gas at the pump anymore or pump tax at the pump anymore. So, yeah, they're just watching dollar signs.
Yeah, I figured.
Bruce from Springville earlier in the show said, how long will it be before New York taxes people on the air they breathe? Now that you said it out loud, probably next week. Chris from Gadsden says, yeah, he's using the internet. Good, Chris. Yay, that's what we do. Appreciate you. If you were on the 101.1 Right Side Ruffian crew, you got to listen online for now because we rolled off of that station and we are moving to Chattanooga, though. Roy from Hartzell says, 3 inches of snow in Hartzell and total gridlock. That's what he's predicting. He's not just predicting the level, he's predicting the chaos.
Yeah, I could see that. It's
have you stocked up on milk and bread yet?
No. I'm not that guy. I mean, I have enough milk and bread for one person anyways, so I probably need to, if I was going to re up on anything, it would be steak and chicken and
well, you got something to cook it on if your power goes out.
That is true.
So I need you got to make sure you have some George Foreman grill cause you to plug it in, dude.
That's true. That's true. It does. Dang it.
Help me to help you.
I think everybody around me in my apartment complex has a grill, though, so maybe I'll just go, you know, ask him politely.
We're going to have to get you a grill.
Yeah.
Jeff from Indiana texted in earlier. He says, hey, Phil, here's what a half inch of freezing rain looks like on the tree. I've been in some ice storms. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, gosh, yeah. He sent these pictures, and they are ice roads, ice trees, ice everything. And what's crazy is during the night when you hear tree branches just breaking off. So, yeah. And he sent another picture of a booth at a Walmart or something. I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
I'm thinking maybe that one got caught up in the other pictures.
Yeah,
on
Jeff,
accident.
You're sending us pictures of things we don't understand. But at least you're fully clothed. It's all right. A couple more.
That we know of. The pictures. He's not in the frame.
As far as we know. He wasn't the one. Yeah. Brian from Athens is all in for, he calls her Coach Meemaw. He wants KIV as coach at, no, it's not going to happen. Matt from Madison says, Tuberville for president in 2028. John from Huntsville says, I think Kay Ivey ought to be Alabama's new football coach. Then I might actually root for them.
Oh, nice. Would he? I don't think he would.
I don't think he would. I think he'd be enjoying rooting against them at that point. And then Brian from Huntsville says, awesome idea, Phil. You read negative mileage, and then New York pays you for driving there. Can it work that way? I have negative miles. I want a remittance, please. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, I'm going to shift gears here. We've been chuckling for a minute, but let me shift gears and be serious for a minute, because what's happening in California, and I'll talk about it more after the break, is we're in apocalyptic zone now, and they've announced that there are at least two dead, many more significant injuries. There are now 1.5 million, just since the show came on today, it has ramped up. It is more than tripled. There are 1.5 million people without power in California right now. That's crazy. And then on top of that, there are tens of thousands of structures, homes, restaurants, businesses that are all being threatened. Look at that. Look at that video right now on the screen. Look at the raging inferno in that house.
Every video I see, I've not seen a wildfire rage like that.
No, it's actually fanned by winds that are blowing between 60 to 100 miles an hour, these offshore gusts that are coming through. I think this is the Santa Ana winds, they call it. But what we're also looking at are absolutely poor liberal environmental activist decisions that are not allowing the mitigation of the burn or the ability to put out the burn. Even to the point that in Palisades Park, they had fire hydrants with no water because the reservoirs had not been topped off by the liberal leadership. Oh, by the way, the mayor of L.A., Karen Bass, defunded the police or the fire department by $17 million in her last budget cycle, and she's on vacation out of the country right now while her city burns.
Yep, that's go figure.
That's a bad look, man.
I don't even know why. I don't know why she decided to cut that, but doesn't look like a good decision now, does it?
Story on Fox News right now in the last couple of hours, the U.S. Department of Defense has announced they are deploying 10 Navy helicopters with water delivery buckets to help suppress the wildfires. So in other words, so people don't realize that for the DOD to get involved in a homeland defense issue or a natural disaster is a pretty big deal. You are allowed to. Posse Comitatus says you don't typically use federal troops for any reason on U.S. soil, but in the threat of life, limb, or property, U.S. troops are allowed to do so. The last time I remember this in a big way was in Montana back about 12 years ago. Like a third of the state was on fire, and the 101st Airborne was sent out, and they actually were out there cutting brush and setting backfires and trying to clear land to keep the fire from spreading into populated areas. But in L.A. right now, you got cities burning. It's not out in the wilderness. It's like Lit Boulevard was on fire. Sunset Boulevard, on fire. West Hollywood, on fire. Malibu, on fire. It's just unbelievable. Pacific Palisades is just roasted right now. And watching iconic areas that America knows by name that are just going up in flames. And these are multi-million dollar houses, some of them. And I'm just wondering how much longer they're going to put up with this leadership, this feckless leadership they've got. Let's take a break, brother. We'll take a break right now. Last break of the day here on a hump day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Jeff from Indiana, I was just wondering about him a minute ago. He said, he just texted in. He says, I was going to call in, but the Walmart background music's too loud.
Said he sent a picture of the bread and milk out.
Yes. And is that what that was?
I think that's what he said. He wanted to see if we needed bread and milk.
Yeah, he's going to bring bread and milk or eggs down for us tomorrow on his run. he lives in Indiana where snow is what happens.
Yeah, it's
like snow.
It's so what? Snow. That's what, like, my whole mom's side in Pennsylvania, I mean, they always laugh at us when they see us freak out over the, like, 2 inches of snow we get. And they'll be going to school with, like, 10 inches, you know? It's, yeah.
Listen, I remember we lived in Mobile for a while. And yeah. I can remember once it snowed in Mobile, which is like, wow, it snowed on the Gulf Coast. That's weird. But yeah, it snowed in Mobile, and people were freaking out, like closing up shop and shutting down schools. And all it did was flurry and create dusting on the ground that was so dry that it would like move around as you drove past it. It would like blow around and it just went away. But it was like complete freak out. Roy from Hartzell says, I have my milk and bread. Milk and bread is for Friday and Saturday. Okay. And then, by the way, Charlene just sent me the updated weather. So this is true. This is real. James Spann. Anybody knows if James Spann says it, you got to take it. That's right.
It is almost gospel.
It is. James Spann just texted out that there's been an update from the National Weather Service. Snow accumulation potential is expected to be slightly lower than what was originally projected. They're saying in the range north of Birmingham, which will include the Huntsville listening area, 2 to 4 inches. Snow in and around the Gadsden area, like 1 to 2 inches. Tuscaloosa and Birmingham could get a half inch to an inch, but there will be icy travel as far south as Montgomery, Auburn, and Opelika. So we're looking at having some winter weather nonetheless, but they're already downplaying it.
So if the meteorologists, who are always wrong, are saying it's going to be less than expected, does that mean it's actually going to be more than what is expected?
Oh, geez. Now you just threw a curveball.
Reverse psychology.
John from Huntsville texts in with the grade, says Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson get an A-plus for their equally awesome Grand Council performances. Phil gets an A-minus for calling Dale Jackson a wise man. Which means today's winner is obviously the magnificent JP with an A-triple-plus. Congratulations. I earned that.
Yeah, you did.
I accept that. Hey, listen, let me end on this note. I want to go back to the California burning thing. This is a serious business here. Pray for the people in California. 155,000 people have now been ordered to evacuate their homes. That's 155,000 people have been evacuated. 1.5 million have no power. Structures are burning left and right, and there's no sign of it abating anytime soon. In fact, they keep showing up on the screen that new fires are starting. They name them by their regions. So the Eaton fire started, I think, last night, and to this point right now, they still say they have zero containment. So what we're seeing right now are lives being devastated by something that we're watching play out in real time on TV and on social media and others. So I just want to encourage you guys, all you right side ruffians, I know what kind of people you are. Yeah, California politics is nuts, but Californians, those are our people. And so blessings, Lord, we pray a blessing over the people of California that you would quell the fires and you would give them safety and protection and bless those who are working as first responders. And all in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, do not forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.